In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. What does it mean to be blessed or to be blessed, as we like to say in church? Well, we use the word blessing quite a bit. It gets used a lot in just sort of our everyday vernacular even. When we think about a blessing, we talk about things that could be, you know, any range of things. We could talk about it in sort of a holy sense, sort of something that is a gift from God or maybe a pronouncement from a priest. The word blessing has kind of a supernatural quality to it. I mean, you think about what we do in church. The church blesses things. We bless animals. We bless people and relationships. And when we do these things, these blessings, we understand, at least we hope, that it's something helpful. Or at least it can't hurt. But a blessing can mean a lot of things. Like I said, we use it in our vernacular. We could use it, say, to talk about permission. Maybe a couple's going to get married and one asks the family of the other for the blessing to continue on in the relationship. We talk about a blessing that could be a form of happiness. You know, I have this wonderful job and I feel like it's a blessing. We could talk about it being spoken well of. In fact, in many languages, the word blessing, the word that gets translated into English as blessing, literally is something that is a good word. And no matter what we think being blessed or a blessing is, we always understand it as something positive. To be blessed is to be happy or gaining a positive in some way. A blessing is something to strive for or to hope for. And then with all that in mind, we heard this very familiar passage today from Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus says something that really makes very little sense. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. These lines are often called the Beatitudes. The word Beatitude comes from the Latin Beata. It's the word that the Latin Bible would use to talk about those things that are blessings. And these first four lines are rather counterintuitive because they're sort of the opposite of what we might imagine. And yet, at the same time, they sort of make some sense. Now, nobody wants to be poor in spirit or to mourn or be meek or lack righteousness. But each one of these contains a promise that things are going to get better. Now, you know, as a priest, and probably not just as a priest, but as a person of faith, probably the single most frequent question I get, and the biggest challenge that many people have in their own faith, is to deal with the problem of pain. If God is good, then why do bad things happen? I think most people have either asked this question or been asked this question at some point. And you know, I have a very simple answer to that question. I don't know. I don't know, but only God knows. But there is one thing I do know about pain and suffering and difficulty. And that is that God uses bad things to create good. That's what the Beatitudes tell us. You know, that first line even is rather shocking when you listen to it. To be poor in spirit. This is to be drained of one's own soul. To be so wearied by life and worn down to the point of lacking faith. And yet, these are the ones that Jesus says who will inherit the kingdom. These first four Beatitudes tell us that suffering is temporary, but still has meaning. Now the next three have a bit of a change in tenor. The next three call us to something. They call us to humility and call us to action. And they promise reciprocation, even if only divine. The merciful will receive mercy. The pure in heart will see God. And the peacemakers will be called children of God. Now, this quite often goes against our human impulses. Because we hear these things about about mercy and peace and purity in heart. And to be honest, if somebody does us wrong, what do we want to do? What's our first gut instinct?
Hit back.
Right. We want revenge. That's our human impulse. And that's what makes us difficult. It's a challenge. Because it's not what the Beatitudes are calling us to. Now, I don't think this means that we should be doormats. I don't think it means we should never do anything. If, for instance, if somebody commits a crime, of course, society needs to be protected. But at the same time, even with that same person, we should also seek to see the humanity in someone who does wrong. In fact, we are called to seek the humanity in all people, no matter what their situation. I have been very bothered by the rhetoric that has been floating around our society in the last year. The hate speech that we hear from groups. This is not unique to our country. You can see this kind of thing happening all over the world, particularly in Europe. And yet this kind of talk has manifested itself in our own country as well. We have developed a great fear of the outsider or those who are different. And hate groups have risen up and have felt like they have a space to be vocal. And so what do we do as the church, as the body of Christ, as those who proclaim the risen Lord? What do we do? The church has to have a voice in this. We cannot be passive and allow the vulnerable to be abused. Because we can see that God cares for those who are wearied and marginalized. And so we must too. And we can't just pick those who it's safe to speak up for, our pet projects, because that's not what God does. There are many people who struggle for situations that are beyond their control. These are people, whether they are poor, disabled, homeless, or addicted, the mentally ill, the elderly, refugees, prisoners, people of color and sexual minorities. These are people who struggle for reasons that they cannot help. And when they are oppressed, God hears their cries. And you know what the Beatitudes say? The Beatitudes say they are blessed. And it is because of their cries that God calls them blessed, as they will be comforted and become inheritors of heaven and earth. This is what Jesus is telling us today. This is what the Sermon on the Mount says. And so if we look to Christ, who said these words, how do we then, who are followers of Christ, respond to those words? The prophet Micah spoke the words, "He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?" So I want to challenge us. I want to challenge all of us. How can we be merciful and be peacemakers? How do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? How do we show those with whom we share nothing that we see them still as sisters and brothers in Christ, and we are with them? How do we follow the words of the Beatitudes and as Christians treat everyone as though they too are blessed? Amen.